Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 137. We want to read a few verses there on the subject of backsliding. When you get to this chapter and you read these verses, you're going to say, is that really about backsliding? Yes, it is. And we'll try to explain that after we read these verses. Psalm 137, verses 1 through 4, we read, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I want to say today that this cry from the psalmist, this cry that apparently Israel as a national figure, as a national group, has made, is about the terrible spiritual condition that the Lord's people get in when they backslide. In fact, it was backsliding that brought them to this place where they are in captive in Babylon. This account about the Jews being in Babylon in captivity is really about what happened to them when they neglected their spiritual welfare, when they neglected their spiritual lives, when they became worldly and were taken captive by, as individuals and as a nation, by individual and national sin. First, they were taken captive by sin, in a sense, and then they were taken captive by the Babylonians as God gave them over to that slavery. They spent 70 years down in Babylon, and the psalmist here writes of their sad state. And while they were down there, this was the lament, the cry that they made. The description here is, as I've said, a real commentary on how the Lord's people get when they leave off the things of God, when they wander off into sin and wander off in a cold and unspiritual condition. Now, the experiences that are pictured here in our text may happen secretly to each one of us when we backslide. They may happen openly to us when we backslide. They may happen to a church. They may happen to a nation in which God's people dwell. And I think we can identify with all of these if we'll just think a minute about times of our lives and the condition of our nation today as a result of what I believe is the backsliding of God's people in America. We let the world persuade us that looseness was okay, that a life without moral soundness was just the way things were. It's the culture. And as a result, we wandered away from God. And because of that, I believe that God visits America today with what we're suffering. I don't think God visits a pagan nation for the purpose of punishing a pagan nation, except as how God's people are affected by it. Now, these people that are affected by it may not be citizens of that nation, but you can read your Bible through and through, and when you see where God judges pagan nations, you'll notice that always the people of God are affected by it. They are involved in it in some way. And again, when God's people lose sight of their spiritual lives, when they wander, God visits them and sometimes the whole nation, both the lost and the saved, with punishment. And that's where we find the children of Israel down in Babylon. So whether we experience this Babylonian lament individually or collectively as a church or collectively as all the Christians in a nation, I think we have something to learn by identifying with what the psalmist wrote about here concerning folks who are in a state of being backslidden. The greatest hindrance that God's people have in their forward progress in spiritual things, in their individual lives, and in churches collectively, the greatest hindrance God's people have with spiritual development and forward progress has to do with backsliding. And so because of that, I think it's really important that we as God's people give some thought to backsliding and the danger of it. And with that said, let's take a look at what the psalmist is writing about. The condition of the Lord's people when they neglected spiritual things and when they let sin begin to mount up in their lives and bring them to the place that's represented by our text. Enslaved in Babylon. The first thing that I think we can notice as we look at these verses is found in the first part of verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon. That's the first thing that we see the psalmist says in starting up his song. And this first thing, by the rivers of Babylon, is about backsliding. And we should realize that it is kind of a picture of how backsliding takes us away from our native spiritual environment. By that I mean, it takes us away from the spiritual environment we should be in. It takes us away from being present and active in the things of the kingdom. It takes us away to a place we'll just call Babylon. That's what backsliding does. It draws us away from the peace and the wonder and the joy and the comfort of where we find ourselves fellowshipping with God. And it takes us away to a place where sin is all around us and in us and overpowering about us. And where it does all of the work that it does in our lives, the work that we'll look at as we look at further things about this. So, brothers and sisters, let's realize first and foremost that backsliding takes us from the joy, the glory, the wonder of the kingdom, the fellowship in the kingdom. It takes us to spiritual Babylon and puts us in chains there. You know, we were made to walk in the light as we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We were made to walk in the light as He is in the light. And there we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with one another. And the blood of Christ in that state cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. But if we're not in the light, the effects of sin become overpowering. And when we're backslidden, that's exactly where we are. Now let me just clarify something about backsliding that you need to understand. Backsliding is different from apostasy. And apostasy is that word in the Bible that isn't really there, but is there in the Greek. That means a reprobation or turning back from following a course of religion, and you really never were saved, but you really are lost, and you finally renounce your religion. That's apostasy. And there are places in the Bible that the same word is used for backsliding that's used for apostasy, because the Hebrews had one word that described either or both. But it is not apostasy. Backsliding, let me say, is when God's children leave the place that they were in spiritual growth and move backwards to a lower level of spiritual things than they were at any one time. And I have to qualify that by saying that when we return down to another level from some higher experience, it isn't always backsliding. Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. What did they see that day? What was up there? Well, they could not articulate it. And Matthew could not speak it out in fullness. But there was Christ in all of the glory that He had with Father. And there He was talking with Moses and Elijah. And they were so overtaken with this that they were full of excitement and joy and awe and the gloriousness of the situation. They were on a high place that day spiritually. But that only lasted a few hours, and then they came down from the mount and things kind of returned to normal. That wasn't backsliding. But what Peter felt that day on the Mount of Transfiguration contrasted with what he felt when they came down from the mount and began living day by day and following Jesus and learning from Him is quite different from what Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration and what he was that night by the fire when he said, "I don't know the man." That's the contrast between being in a spiritual place and being backslidden. What Peter was day by day as he served his Lord, walked in His light, and listened to His teachings, and what Peter was that awful night there in the castle, in the palace, are quite distinctly different conditions. The one is a normal spiritual growth pattern and travel pattern. The other is a backslidden condition. And that's the difference we want to make. But we find that we as God's people are made to walk in the light. And we ought to find ourselves there all the time. But we don't. We don't. I'm not saying, I walk in the light all the time. I don't, and you don't. And when we go backward from where we are, where we have gotten to in our level of spiritual growth, go backward to some lower level of spiritual responsiveness to God, we have backslidden. And the light becomes dim. And things aren't like they were when we were in good fellowship with God. You know, we've got a plan around here. My wife pointed something out to me about that here a while back. We've got a plant here alongside the road that blooms out in June and July. You folks call them daylilies, remember? The nice orange. They come up in there. They flourish along the roadside. You see these little groves of them where the daylilies are all bloomed out in June and July. And they're beautiful to behold. And most of you that have studied any or looked, watched daylilies know that at night they close up. But when those daylilies close up at night, you know what happens to that beautiful bloom that closes up after a day of blooming? It dies. It's done. It's put up in the dark. And you know what? We're a lot like that as God's people. When we backslide, we're like the daylily that the sun sets on. The bloom of the spiritual things that are ours seems to go out. It flourishes while we're in the light of the grace of God, in the light of the presence of God, in the fellowship with God. But when that night of backsliding happens, the spiritual blooms that are with us wither and stop. And that's what we're like, and that's what backsliding is all about. We do that, and we have that about us. Now, the psalmist said then, as he lamented in this awful condition, by the rivers of Babylon. What did you do by the rivers of Babylon, Israel? By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. You ever notice how when you get backslidden, somebody says, "I've never been backslidden." You better examine yourself. I don't think there's one of us in this room that haven't been backslidden. You ever notice when you get backslidden, how easy it is to sit down on God and just stop? We as God's people, when we get to that place where we've backed up spiritually, we don't feel like acting out for God. We don't feel like being witnesses for the Lord. We don't feel like being spiritual and acting spiritual and thinking spiritual and doing spiritual things. We don't feel like reading our Bible. We don't really feel like praying. We sit down on God. By the rivers of Babylon, says the psalmist, we sat down. You know, nothing takes the wind out of our spiritual sails in regard to doing things for the Lord like getting backslidden. Not only does our mind become clouded by the spiritual backward step that we do, but at the same time, we lose our spiritual energy and motivation. And so, as I said, we don't really feel up to doing anything for the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2, you'll remember Jesus wrote to some of the churches. And there He wrote to the church at Ephesus. And in that writing, we find that the Lord Jesus rebuked the church at Ephesus for this very thing. He said to them, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." You know, that backsliding is a kind of falling. It's a falling backward. A backing up. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works, He said. What are the first works, King Jesus? Have the same enthusiasm that you had for me before you fell backwards. Have the same desire. Have the same fellowship with me that you had before you did that backsliding that you did. That's what the Lord's talking about. And that's what He would say to each one of us when we backslide. You know, when we're backslidden, brothers and sisters, we'll not stand for anything about God, and we'll not stand up for God. Well, we're ashamed. Most of the time, we're just plain ashamed. We know we haven't been doing right. We know we haven't been thinking right. We know we haven't been acting right. And so we're just kind of ashamed, and we don't do anything for the Lord because of that shame. It's not just spiritual laziness. We're so shamed by how we know we are inside, we can't get the gumption up to do anything for the Lord. Now, I think one of the best illustrations about this would be to look out into our nation at what's going on across America today. We find that in our country today, we find the government treating government crime as though it didn't exist. Why is that? Well, first of all, they're going to leave it alone. But, Brother Bob, why are they going to leave it alone? They're going to leave it alone because so many of them are involved in it themselves that they're ashamed or embarrassed or afraid they themselves will be put on the spot if they say anything about it. And so, crime runs rampant in government today because everybody is either embarrassed or hesitant or afraid to say something about it because they have their own hands dirty. Any of you wonder why the national legal system put and was able to put Martha Stewart in prison for insider trading while every congressperson who wanted to do it up there in Congress was working wide open at it? You ever wonder why? You ever wonder how they could have done that? Why aren't those representatives in prison? Because government crime is so rampant that those who would judge and who would bring prosecution don't have the guts, the gumption, or the boldness to do it because they themselves are so wrapped up in it they cannot stand up for justice. And that's the best illustration I know for how we get when we're backslidden. Because we can't stand up for God. We're too involved in the very thing that God is against. And if we stand up for God, we're saying we stand up and against those things that God stands against. And we are, of all people, we appear the most hypocritical when we do that in a backslidden condition. How is it that the mayors of some major cities today can say that they're going to make sure that Chick-fil-A doesn't establish a business in their city in open defiance of the Constitution? These political leaders say, we're going to do everything we can to make sure Chick-fil-A doesn't get a business in our city. How can they do that? Because politicians and the political system is so full of this kind of crime and criminality that nobody's going to say anything. Heard of any mayors getting prosecuted for that? I haven't. They won't be. Trust me. Because nobody up there is going to stand up for justice when everybody's hands are dirty. And that's the way it gets with us when we get backslidden. We don't wonder about that. All of us have been there and we know that we're ashamed to say anything. And furthermore, we're reminded real quickly how hypocritical we'll appear if we did say anything and stood up for God. So we are by the rivers of Babylon in our backslidden condition. And there we sat down. And look what they say next. Yea, we wept. Yea, we wept. You know, after we realize what our condition is, our souls cry. If some of you big tough guys, if you get backslidden and the Lord shows you what an awful spiritual state you're in, you may not have any crocodiles running down your cheeks. But I can tell you what I know that you will have. You'll have tears in your heart because you can't help it. We sat down by the rivers of Babylon. Yea, we wept. And that is exactly what happens to God's people when they backslide from God and God begins to show them what an awful thing it is. We are overcome with an intense sadness. We are overtaken with the terribleness of our state. We are made so sad, brothers and sisters, and praise God that we are, because you know what? We wouldn't find our way back out if it wasn't for that. Back years ago when I managed the Kentucky Wildlife Services Program, I used to shoot pigeons on the Corps of Engineers locks and dams up and down the Ohio River. I'd start at one end of the river, it's like Louisville, and go south and shoot pigeons on those dams, stay out a week and a half at a time sometimes. And I'd get to one of those dams sometimes when it was falling weather and there'd be a big fog move in. And at night, you always had to go up there at night. Nobody was working on the dam. You went up there at night where the pigeons were roosting all over the place and take a pellet rifle and start popping them. It'd get real foggy sometimes when I would get ready to go out on one of those dams. And I'd go up there on those dams at night and walk through that fog, and it was so thick you could cut it with a knife. And I'd get out there where there was nobody, and there wasn't any noise at all except maybe the sloshing of the water down there 40 or 50 feet below on the gates. And I'd be walking around there shining my light in the corners of these stairwells and stuff, and it was the eeriest feeling that you ever had to be out there. Nobody else around. Fog as thick that you could cut it with a knife, and all the silence and all the emptiness, and sometimes there would come over me the most depressing feeling that ever was. It'd be like I was in a cemetery or something on a moonless night with an awful fog and it dripping rain. I'd be so saddened by the things around me that I'd have to talk myself out of that sadness in order to get to where I could even concentrate on my job that I was out there for. And you know what? When I think about what that was like back then, it's almost like an image of how we get when we get backslidden and God suddenly wakes us up and we're there on the rivers of Babylon. And we are sitting down on God. We find ourselves at the place to have some spiritual crying time as we realize where we are and what we've done. We wept, says the psalmist. And I want you to notice as we look on in that verse that the thing that brings the weeping on, we wept when we remembered Zion. That's the part of backsliding, brothers and sisters, that brings on the great sadness. That's the part of backsliding that makes us realize that we're not where we ought to be. And we're not happy like we could be. And we're not with our Lord the way we should be. It's to realize and think about the glories that we have with God in eternal life as we share the things of Zion. We think about those things and we're backslidden. I don't see how the tears can help but fall. I don't see how we can help but be sorrowful. I don't see how that we can help but regret our actions and remember how it was with the Lord in the happy times. How it was with the Lord when our hearts were set on the Lord. How it was with the Lord before we acted so foolishly, so idiotically, to wander off from Him and get ourselves in a backslidden condition. We wept when we remembered Zion. Verse 2, we hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. You know, this verse right here, if we understand the symbolism, I believe could be the answer to why some of the Lord's people can't sing out in a worship service. I really do. I believe it could answer the question for some of God's people who just can't let it go in the Lord's worship service. Backsliding takes the songs of God out of our mouth, takes the playing of the instrument for God out of our hand. It takes the desire to do it. And oh, what a burden if we've got to sing another hymn today. When we get in a backslidden condition, we truly are like the children of Israel in Babylon. We hang our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And notice the way that verse is written, that the harps are hung on Babylonian willows in the middle of Babylonian country. What am I saying? I'm saying, brothers and sisters, that when we backslide, we're not in a state, a condition to handle the tools of gladness and praise. We're not in a condition to play for the Lord. We're not in a condition to sing for the Lord. We're not in a condition to participate in praise with other saints of God. We're not in a condition to think of the things of joy that are part of our Christian experience. We're not in any condition. And so, out there in that backslidden condition in Babylon, we hang our harps on the willow. We pretty much stop, if you will. And look at verse 3. For there are they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You know, the things of the world, and even the people of the world, try to speak to us about being happy and having fun when we're in a backslidden state. In fact, God's people have this awful habit of sometimes trying to find some kind of fellowship with people in the world when they get backslidden. And that's where we get in trouble. We pick the wrong companions because we've sat down on God. And in doing that, we try to mix it up with those people. And yeah, the things of the world will speak to us about, oh, isn't this a great time? Isn't this a wonderful time? Isn't this a happy time? And people that are of the world will say, hey, let's go down to so-and-so, have some fun. You ever notice, though, that when they try to make it a happy time, and when something inside you stirs and talks about, oh, this is a good time to be happy and joyous, that if you're backslidden, it's not. It's just not. You can enjoy the things that might otherwise bring you carnal pleasure, temporary enjoyment that you might get is comes quickly, goes quickly, and that's the end of it. And you're sad afterward, if not more sad, than when you were there mixed up with it. And so the world will try to speak to us about being happy and having fun. And those that don't know anything about a believer's relationship with the spiritual God and the enjoyment that takes place, that exists, they imagine that the backslidden Christian can find plenty of joy right where he's at amongst them, but he can't. Never does. Never will. You know, backslidden Christians in a room full of unbelievers are a whole lot like a cat in a room full of dogs. They are. You can imagine how much fun a cat will have in a room full of dogs, and that's just about the amount of fun God's people have when they realize they're backslidden and go out and try to have some fun in the world. We as God's people, if we get in backsliding country, backslider country, we know we're in the wrong place. We really do. We're kind of like Moses at the time that Zipporah gave him that son. He named that son Gershom. And he said, I named my son Gershom because I have been a stranger in a strange land. Ever feel that way? Ever get that way? You've ever been backsliding? You'll feel that way. You'll be a stranger in a strange land. It's almost like you're detached from yourself. You're detached from what's going on around you. You're standing up on top of the ceiling, looking down on what's unfolding, but you're not participating. You're not enjoying. You're not sharing because things are not right in the strange land that you've gotten yourself into. You're in Babylon. You're sitting by the river. Ought to be a placid, lovely, wonderful place with the river flowing by and burbling and making all those sweet sounds. We like water. We like the sound of water cascading down a little waterfall or running by on a rocky shore. We like the looks of water as it runs and ripples along in a creek or a river. We like the kind of environment we find in a river. But when it's the river of Babylon, it's no fun for God's people. It's a really dull, dreary, drab, unhappy place. And I'm glad it is, as I said earlier, because if it wasn't, we'd never get out of there. Look at our next verse and see what else he says about this awful condition. I love the fact that God gave us this psalm to remind us of what kind of condition people are in when they're backslidden. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, I've already mentioned the fact that we sat down on the Lord. This is just another aspect of it. We realize, really sadly, we realize, a little late to realize it, but it seems like we always wait until we're down eating husks of corn with the hogs before we get to this place. It's the nature of the beast. But we realize, sadly, that we cannot express anything that has to do with joy in the Lord while we're in a backsliding, backslidden condition in backslider country. We can't do it. You know, there's a number of reasons for why we can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. One of them is that when we're there, we can't carry the tune. Okay? You know, when you're backslidden and you don't have the power of the Spirit lift you up and give voice to your feelings of joy and praise, you can't carry a spiritual tune. And there's another reason that lies behind that, and that is that in that condition of being backslidden, when God's people might try to sing, the Lord's songs cut them to the heart. We get cut to the heart when we try to sing some gospel song and realize that the very tenor of the song, the sound of it, the words of it, they condemn our hearts when we're in that condition. And so we just can't quite carry through with it. I used to go to church with my wife back in the day when I was rebelling against the Lord and fighting against the Holy Spirit's wonderful, glorious, precious wooing. I used to go to church with her and sit there in a pew and she'd open the songbook and they'd sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And you know, I'd try to sing that song and I couldn't. There was no heart in it. I couldn't carry the tune. I couldn't stand the condemnation of it because I was backslidden away from the Lord. Out of His will, out of the fellowship, I couldn't feel the things of the Spirit because my heart was not right with God. That's the way we always are. We're like these Israelites in Babylon. My last point, what can we do when we come to the realization that we're backslidden? What can we do? Well, first of all, and we probably won't think to do this when it happens, but first of all, we can praise God that He brought us to realize that we were backslidden. We can praise God that we understand it and know we're there. Because He will give us insight into how bad the state is when He gives us awareness that we're there. But there's more that we can do. If you turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 14 and verse 7, here's a wonderful verse that tells us what can be done. Says Jeremiah on behalf of Israel, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do Thou it for Thy name's sake. Forgive. Receive us back for Thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against Thee. That's the first thing we need to do. Lord, I've been wrong. I've been backslidden and I know it. And I come to You confessing that I've been backslidden. Now, you don't have to enumerate every sin. You may not remember a bunch of them. But I want to tell you what you do need to do. As God's people, we need to say, Lord, I'm wrong, been wrong, backslidden. My backslidings are many. Forgive my iniquity. That's the first thing we can do. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 22, we can remember God, the great and merciful, loving Father, is sitting there with this kind of attitude about Him. Listen, Jeremiah 3, verse 22. This is the way God sits there waiting for you to get your life right. When we get backslidden, He's sitting there waiting for us to get our lives right. He knows all about it. But listen at His attitude, His condition. Listen. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. That's God the Father. And that's what He says to every one of us. There's healing waiting from God if we just return from our backsliding. Oh yeah, we can do it. We can do it, not of ourselves. But if the Holy Spirit has brought us to the place to realize we're there, He's also opened the door to make it possible for us to get back to God. He doesn't bar us out. He doesn't stop us from coming. He doesn't throw up blockades. The door is wide open, brothers and sisters. And we can just enter right in. Return, you backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto Thee, say we. Notice how responsive that Jeremiah is to God's invitation in behalf of Israel. And he says, "Behold, we come to thee, for thou art the Lord our God." All we got to do is recognize that it's our Lord and our God, and simply come as soon as we know, as soon as the Lord revealed it to us. We got to be like the prodigal son in Luke 15, verses 18 and 19. He woke up one day. He woke up one morning in a hog wallow, and he said, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." You notice the humility, the repentance that's shown by that prodigal son. And that's all God requires of his people. When we get to the place where we realize we're backslidden, we don't need to stay there another second. We need to go to the Father and realize that he's invited us. He said, "Come on, I'm here. Still your Father, still your Lord, still your God." And we need to be in the condition, the spiritual condition of the prodigal son. "I will arise and go to my Father. And I'll say, Father, I'm not worthy to even be called a son. Just make me as one of the hired servants, and I'll be satisfied." That humility will honor God.